Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
A.J. Smith-Sharver was a dog last night. Allowed one hit, zero runs, walked four, struck out five through eight innings pitched. He becomes the second pitcher this season to allow one hit or fewer over the at least eight scoreless innings, guys. Mitchell Parker, by the way, is the other guy who did this with the Nationals. So an excellent outing for him. Braves win. They score some runs. We'll see what they do tonight for Chris Sale. Mike and I are going to get deeper into this coming up here in about 20 minutes. Mike, before we talk some college football, let's talk about this. Cleveland Browns have released that Shedeur Sanders is going to wear number 12.
In honor of Tom Brady?
Yeah. And here's the interesting part. And Dom and Day-Day, tell me, you guys are telling me his jersey is already one of the highest selling. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah. I want to say just a few days in, he was one of the highest selling rookie jerseys.
Nice. And as we said, he's already putting work in the community in Cleveland. There's already stuff in it. Saw videos of him at schools and stuff.
This momentum is real, though, Mike.
Yes. Look, here's the deal. It's going to be a hell of a story. You know, and as we said, it's think of it as Mike Tyson punch out. First up, you got to take out Dylan. Is it Dylan Gabriel? Right? Boom. All right, you're out of here. Up next,
Pickett.
Two gloves. Good luck with that. Sorry, sunshine, you're out. And then it's Joe Flacco. It's like beating up your grandfather. He'll have the starting job. Just if you can pull this off in three weeks of preseason.
So Flacco starts. This is a story we'll be watching when the season starts, guys. Flacco starts.
Right.
But by week five, is he in there? By week six?
That's why, and we said this, the good and bad. Regardless of what the personnel people felt around the league, you are going to get like the circus in town. Yeah. You get all the media hype. Yep. You get all the national media attention. Every time you play, this is going to be a story. Now, look, it's great for us. We're not in Cleveland. So, I mean, how does the coach and the coaching staff handle it? But, hey, you know what? I do think he should have gone in the second round. I don't understand how it went down and why it went down. But now he's got a chance to silence all the critics and just do it his way. And I just feel bad because everybody wants to see this happen. And do you agree with my assessment of how it's going to happen? Or do you think it's going to be a tough road to hoe for him to get to be the starter?
No, look, I think for them, for the value they got him at, the money he's going to be making, there's no rush, right? If they took him second overall,
the fans would be going ape.
This would be a different situation. But there's no rush to get him in there. They will do it at their own time. But, yeah, I do agree with you. I think – and by the way, here's what's crazy about this. The Gabriel kid could play really well. But the momentum with Shedeur and what – and I said this –
maybe it's screwy. It's tougher for him now.
It is.
In hindsight. You're right.
Because I said this to Day-Day and Dom. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I said that the way you get back in with your fan base – think about this if you're a Cleveland fan. You screwed it up with Johnny Manziel. You drafted Baker Mayfield, right guy, but then he kicked off the fan base. Then the Deshaun Watson thing happened, and you know where that is.
Right.
This is how you get back in the good graces of your fan base, Mike. And so if Shedeur can play, and I do think he can, we're going to see, then that momentum may even outweigh if Gabriel plays well, Dylan Gabriel plays well. It won't matter because then the organization is like, look,
everybody is clamoring to see him. We know he's selling jerseys.
Right.
People, this is the show. We need to move on.
It's funny to watch on NFL Network. And guys are like wringing their hands. Like, how's he going to penetrate that depth chart? I go, pretty easily.
Yeah.
And then eventually, if you're this, and like, there's always a need for a backup. I mean, the Browns might have Pickett for less than 3 months. Right? And then they trade him off to somebody else. He wears a baseball hat on somebody else's
side. They didn't pick up his fifth-year option.
Exactly.
So, all right, just wanted to mention that, but he is going to wear number 12, and yes, he has that relationship with Tom Brady. We will see how it all shakes out. It's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Let's talk some dogs. So it happened yesterday. Jarrett Curtis commits to the Dogs. I was watching it here late on the show, and Mike and I were, you know, kind of taking it all in. He takes his, you know, his little coat off or whatever, and unzips his warm up, and there he's got a Georgia shirt on. And it didn't take long, right? It was like 2 seconds.
Right.
He then takes questions and talked about Kirby and Mike Bobo and talking about his relationship with the Georgia coaches. Mike, this is too much for me, by the way. He's drawing Matt Stafford comparisons. That's saying a lot, man.
Well, you like it if he's going to be a dude who comes in and starts, you know, let's be honest. You know, now if you're one of those top recruits, your job is to do more recruiting, to get more 5 stars to come to Georgia. It's happened before. We've had other guys talk about bringing players in, and sometimes it's another running back talking to wide receivers, whatever. According to Dog Nation, he's apparently going to be in Athens later this week, and he's going to be pitching 5-star O-lineman Jackson Cantwell.
Okay.
And, hey, let's come to Athens and let's do some special stuff. So that's cool. I like it. And the kid, like, again, nothing against the kid. It's just talking to my neighbor, Alan. He was saying he's a big Georgia fan and he's a booster. And he says, him and his son used to follow recruiting, you know, be on Rivals and have the subscription and all that. Now it's like, it's lost its luster because there's just no guarantees. Look, even before we got into NIL and the transfer portal, at the worst case, your kid could transfer out after a full year.
Yes.
Generally, it was 2 or 3. But in this case, you know, you don't just know if there's any sense of permanence because everything in college football, for lack of a better word, is transactional now. Quit, all about the dough.
Quid pro quo.
Right.
It really is. As far as Curtis, and look, I'm just saying, this is these projections, again, when you start doing this, I don't even want to say, because Matt Stafford was great at Georgia. And Matt Stafford, guys, was the number one overall pick coming out. Like that's a hell of a comparison. Now, if you're going to tell me his skill set reminds us maybe of Matt Stafford. And, Mike, I've not seen the young man play. You know, again, I've seen the highlight tape, but I still think that's a huge comparison because now you're talking about a guy that not only left Georgia as the number one overall pick, but he also now is a Super Bowl champion right. And has had an amazing career in the National Football League. And I'm here to tell you guys, Stafford's going to Hall of Fame. Look at his numbers, guys. Go look at the yards, completions. He's going to Hall of Fame. Touchdowns thrown. He played for a terrible organization in the Lions for years, and it wasn't his fault. He was still great. So when I saw that, I was like, I wish Jarrett Curtis nothing but the best. But when I hear that, the Matthew Stafford comparisons. Okay, now you set the bar.
But it's inevitable. It's unavoidable. It's just, you're a quarterback. You got this. You look like this. Okay, you're that guy. It happens in everything. Happens in music. You're the next this. You're the next that. So I get it. Extra pressure on the kid. We'll see if he can handle it.
They didn't say this about the last guy.
Which one?
The last guy that was 6'5 with a cannon and it was supposed to be the next thing since best thing since sliced bread, who just went to Miami. They didn't say that about him.
Well, I mean, I never was that excited about Beck. Beck had a better junior year than his senior. His senior year actually went backwards in college. Now, he did lose, for those who follow recruiting, he lost a bunch of his supporting cast at his high school. But, I mean, Carson Beck, I was never that, you know, fired up about
it. You weren't that high on?
No. And then, you know, it's funny because when we get to the big games, okay, it's his chance to shine, this and that. I just felt if Carson Beck had Todd Monken with him, I think it's a different animal. I think Monken not going to the NFL, I think if it's the return of Bobo, you know me, I'm not a Bobo guy, just is what it is. You said it yesterday, great recruiter, and they got Jarrett Curtis because of him. But I just think if Todd Monken's here, I think maybe Carson Beck goes a different direction. Mm-hmm. Maybe he's still here.
All right. Georgia gets their guy. They'll see if they get the other guy. By the way, Oregon's on this offensive lineman as well.
Here you go. Dan Lanning's going to land somebody.
He could go there as well. Meanwhile, it's a big deal in college football because, as we said, it's not just the NIL rule changes. We're seeing scheduling changes. Mm-hmm. So Notre Dame and Clemson schedule for 12 years. It's a series that is going to include the revenue sharing model, Mike, as a motivating factor. And again, we get into this and you go, all right, well, we've always had these big matchups, but usually it's 2 or 3 years. Why would you say, let's do this for 12 years? It's 2027 through 2038, if you're wondering. And the Tigers will count as one of the five ACC schools that the Fighting Irish will play on an annual basis.
The ACC just a tip business model for the Fighting Irish.
And Notre Dame also intends on playing Florida State and Miami more often. But they need to, right? This is part of how do we make sure, because we've said this, if Notre Dame runs the table, guys, every year they're going to be in the playoffs. Matter of fact, if they lose one game now, they're going to be in the playoffs.
But it's just, you know, they don't have to be in a conference. That's what aggravates people about Notre Dame. They're always in the mix. They obviously earned it this year because they played better football than a number of teams, including Georgia, when it mattered most. But you just wish, you know, if you're the ACC, there's no way. You know, they don't get the kind of revenue you need with the TV contract. You just wish they were in the ACC. They're in every sport but football because they don't have to be. But as far as, and they could be in the Big Ten, they don't have to be either. But it just drives me crazy because for so many years, this is the first year, what, in 15 that they earned it, right, as far as the college postseason. But that's a great thing for Clemson, though, to lock that in.
It is. I just feel like, though, we've talked about two losses now for Notre Dame's schedule gets them in. We're talking about, you know, again.
Yeah, a two-loss Notre Dame is in.
It is in, and that's kind
of they might not get, you know, they may have to play some of those extra games, but they're in.
All right, ACC's new revenue-sharing model, by the way, and this is why that Clemson is doing this, it's part of the settlement between the ACC, Clemson, and Florida State. Mike and I talked about this, nauseam, what was going to happen. They were trying to leave the conference, blah, blah, blah. The ACC will now take 60% of the revenue it generates from its media deal with ESPN and distribute it to schools proportionally based on viewership figures over a rolling five-year period. So Clemson's like, we need to get more eyeballs. We're going to do a long-term deal with Notre Dame. It makes total sense.
Yeah, by the way, I saw this today from a Florida State website, and a lot of Noles fans like me are getting a chuckle out of it, speaking of FSU. Apparently, Mike Norvell gets a bump in his contract. He gave some back to the Booster Association, basically. For the, you know, coaches give so many back to the school with their big contracts. He gets a bump, but it's based on the APR. You remember, like, schools for, like, learning and stuff? Student-athletes? Remember that? Remember that?
I don't remember that.
Neither do I. But anyway, yes, some of these guys are supposed to go to school, and apparently the academic progress rate for FSU is above his bonus line. So basically, Carl, you had one of the worst teams in college football history, and you got great book learning. Okay. So apparently the guys are really smart, but you couldn't turn the season around.
Very good.
You couldn't get guys to buy into what you were selling. Your transfer is left, but you got great grades, which I know I'm being cynical and ironical because no one gives a crap about the grades anymore. It's like the most least important thing in all of college football right now.
You know what? Guys want to graduate. I mean, these coaches care.
Yeah. By the way, I'll be so happy when we see dudes who aren't 27 coming out of college. You went to six different schools.
You're telling me these coaches don't care?
Yeah, who gives a – let's be honest now. This is the – I mean, the academics has never mattered less than it does right now in the world of college football. But Florida State, Carl – they got some mighty fine 23-24 academic progress rate.
Well, Colorado, for the first time in school history, their program had a 3.0 across the board for all their kids.
Right.
And they made a big deal of it. And, Mike, to your point, like, do I agree with you?
Yes,
I do. Because when you tell me you're going to this new playoff model, all the stuff we said you cared about years ago is not true. How will we play this schedule? Oh, it's too many games. What about the month of December when the kids are taking finals? You don't care about all of that.
Right. Well, again, now the good news is when you go as a fifth year redshirt senior or junior, what do you? And it's funny. Remember the old days of like the ABC, Keith Jackson and Frank Broyles, and they have all the pictures of all the players and what they're majoring in.
Yeah.
Nowadays, the players major in study hall. You got nothing. You're there for like a week. You know what I mean? Let's be honest. It's almost like playing. It's like the old joke. Can a Kentucky basketball player find the library?
Wait a minute, Mike. Kentucky kids go to school. And you know what else? Georgia football players go to school. They care.
Yes, they do. You bet they do.
Coming up, we're going to talk about our Braves. Big win last night. Can they sustain it? And what about these young pitchers going deeper in the games, guys? We'll talk about it coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Odyssey.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Optimize your nutrition this year with Factor, America's number one ready-to-eat meal service. Factor's fresh, never-frozen meals are dietitian-approved, ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from 40 weekly options across 8 dietary preferences like Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Eat smarter at factormeals.com/listen50 and use code LISTEN50 for 50% off plus free shipping on your first box. Factormeals.com/listen50. Code LISTEN50.
Is this him?
I mean, Andre 3000 has got to be putting us on with this. I mean, it's got to be a put. Carl, I want to talk to these people that went to the Fox Theater to watch him play the flute.
I heard it was good. People were like, I enjoyed it. It was
good.
Cool.
As in what? Good as in compared to root canal? Well, good as in compared to a colonoscopy?
What did he call that at the beginning of that? What was it?
That was bluffing in the snow.
Okay. I love him, man.
Next, it's walking in the wind.
Look, yeah, exactly. Look, his creativity is off the charts. But yeah, we were talking about the fact that Outkast is going to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We're going to get a reunion, you know, some kind of reunion tour or something. Yeah. And
imagine at the height of Michael Jackson's success, he just, you know, came out with
what? He turned white.
Now I'm going to pull that happened too.
Oh, yeah. My bad.
Well, you can do the joke. You got it.
I'm sorry. No, you got it. I'm sorry. No, I had no idea.
No, I mean, he played the harp. You know what I mean? Oh. I was just saying, it's as compelling as what Andre is doing here.
Yeah. Well, look, that was what I thought you were going with that in the height of his career, but that really happened. Hey, Andre 3000, we love you, bro. I have no idea what this is. And when I hear some of this stuff, I'm like, to Mike's point, is he playing with us? And so I hadn't heard that. So how many tracks is this? Seven? Seven tracks. Okay.
So it's an EP.
All right. Fair enough. Let's talk some Braves. Spencer Schwellenbach pitched 8 innings, allowed 0 runs, 10 strikeouts against the Marlins, and then he pitched 6 innings, allowed 1 run with 5 hits against the Phillies. This is the layout of what we're going to tell you about this pitching staff. We know Chris Sale pitched 7 innings, allowed 2 runs, struck out 10 against the Rockies. You can say it's the Rockies. The fact is Chris Sale, on his best day, he could do that against anybody. Grant Holmes pitched 6 innings and allowed 2 runs and 9 strikeouts against the Dodgers guys, then turned around, pitched 5 2/3 innings and allowed 1 run and 7 strikeouts against the Twins. Mike, this is kind of what our rotation has been. And then A.J. Smith-Shawver pitches 8 innings, allowing 1 hit, 0 runs, and 5 strikeouts against the Reds. So does this give you more confidence as you know these guys are capable of this?
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, what we've come to expect. And granted, it was 25, 30 years ago when all these guys came up. And John Sherrill said just had the greatest pitching staff. And it was sometimes, Carl, so many great young pitchers, you couldn't use them all in like a 5-game series. You know, we talked about Millwood a few days ago. You know, you go back to the days of, you know, Glavin and Smoltz and when Avery had it going before the arm. So you're kind of, as a Braves fan, figure, okay, we got it. And you and I have always covered the Faltys and all these guys, the Newcombs who just don't pan out. I was just afraid that AJ, you know, is going to be like one of these guys that just doesn't cut it.
Okay.
This is going to be a huge confidence booster for him. It's the best start he's ever had as a Brave. And the article from Mark Bowman talked about last time he got sent down on a roster move, it really did kind of, you know, basically maybe look in the mirror, but maybe rededicate himself and get it right. And now he's doing it.
Last night, Matt Olson certainly helped him out, but he was talking about A.J. Smith-Shawver after the game. Listen to what Matt Olson said.
Yeah, I mean, his last two starts he's had have been really good. Just in complete control, it felt like, tonight. Working ahead of guys, I feel like that's been the biggest thing the last couple games. Obviously, he had to come out getting hit in the arm in Colorado, but pounding the zone, you know, he's got elite stuff. So for him to just get ahead of guys and then let the stuff work has been big.
The big problem we had with AJ earlier was the pitch count. Remember you and I were talking about it? And it's like, oh boy, it's getting around 80 and you're in the fifth inning. And so that was where we were worried. This is a more economical effort. Again, just one friggin' hit. That's the best start ever.
So Matt Olson was saying the last two starts, he's had elite stuff. This is the thing. Consistency is always the key. Look, nobody's got better stuff on his staff than Spencer Strider. When he's at complete health and like nobody. And Chris Sale will tell you that too. But if A.J. Smith-Shawver can Mike maintain this, he's got the ability to not – I'm not saying, you know, throw a no-hitter every other outing, but he's got the ability to go deep in the games. And that's the thing. When we talk about how far and how many innings a guy pitches for you in a season, I said this last year to you guys, the whole Max Fried thing and Charlie Morton, it wasn't whether you sentimentally wanted them back or not. It was you're giving up 170 innings – or more, certainly for Charlie. He was giving you almost 200 a year. Where are you getting that from?
So that's what you need, these guys. That's why Bryce Elder's been kind of a revelation, that he's actually come back and kind of figured it out too, because he doesn't have overpowering stuff. He's got to mix up speeds and find a way. But he's been really good, so owe him an apology, because I thought he was kind of being on that constant, you know, Gwinnett yo-yo with the Braves. But if A.J. Smith-Shawver can do his thing like this, and Schwellenbach figures out why they're lighting him up, because that's the next concern. Can Rick Kranitz figure out how, as we said to Grant yesterday, Carl, work backwards? Start changing your thing. But do what you do in the fourth inning and the first inning. Because if Schwellenbach gets back to what he was looking like the first 2 weeks, then you don't have to go spend or trade for somebody at the deadline.
Matt Olson, Mike, had an inside the park home run. Look, we don't want to see people get injured. I'm all about selling out and trying to make a play. You talk about giving it your all. He breaks his forearm. Tyler Callahan breaks his forearm. But this happened. It put the Braves up 4-0, but this also helped A.J. Smith-Shawver's effort last night.
He deals the pitch that Olson shoots the other way toward the line. Oh. Catch made by Callahan, or was it made? And he is in some pain. The ball was not caught. Matt Olson is going to come around and try to score, and he's going to.
Yeah, he's hurt down there. That's a broken wrist or something.
You hate it for Tyler Callahan, a rookie playing in just his fourth Major League Baseball game. The Braves do get two.
Yep, and Tom Glavine could be an orthopedist. It was a forearm that he broke. But, I mean, to see a guy make that catch, and you heard the audio there on the hot mic, kaboom, as he hits the wall, and there's not much room there, as you guys know, in foul territory. You're right there. You're one stride inside the line. And then as he hits the ground, Carl, he basically just tosses the glove off. I thought for a second they may call him out because he had enough control to actually take the glove and take it off his hand. But they said, nope, you didn't control it. So, and then Olson's like, am I good here?
Yeah. Did you think it was a catch?
At first, just knowing how baseball never does what you think they're going to do on the replay, I thought they may say it was a catch. But you just feel terrible for the young man. That was only his fourth game in the show.
Yeah, tough moment. Great moment for the Braves.
Shook up the Reds, too. I'm not saying it may have contributed to Shawver's dominance, A.J. Smith-Shawver, but if you saw the Reds' faces, it was like, damn.
It's like when a line drive hits a pitcher. You're watching this play out, and especially if a guy gets hit in the head, it gives you perspective. Like, okay, that could happen at any point, and especially when a guy hits, you know, taken off the field. So he's going to be all right. That's the good news. But that was a violent collision with the wall for Tyler Callahan. Last but not least, we're talking about our Braves. Grant McCall is going to join us next hour, guys, as they continue this series with the Reds. We're talking about A.J. Smith-Shawver because he had just a great performance last night. And it gives you a lot of confidence, as we've talked about Schwellenbach, Chris Sale coming along, Grant Holmes. Okay, maybe this rotation is going to find its mark. Here's Smith-Shawver talking about he had his fastball working.
I feel like I used my heater pretty well today. I feel like I had good results on it all day. And then it was curveball splitter, really, just kind of leaning on that and getting myself into good counts and getting myself out of bad counts. But I thought everything was kind of working today.
Usually it's like pitchers.
Yep, and it was. The pitching's been, you know, like I said, that's been a pleasant surprise. Are you worried about Schwellenbach at all, though? I mean, he's been getting touched up, man.
No, he has. Look, the crazy thing is, and we read these numbers earlier, again, 8 innings, 0 runs allowed, 10 strikeouts versus the Marlins, then turned around, pitched 6 innings, 1 run against the Phillies, 5 strikeouts. That's who he can be. What we've seen as of late It's not an injury concern. And while we're talking about this, we got to bring this up with Grant. But 1 second. The Schwellenbach thing is not an injury concern, Mike. I think it is more about what's going on with him and his stuff. But Mike and I were talking about this, too, and we hadn't really even mentioned it today, but we'll ask Grant. So this Ronald Acuña situation. So the Braves are saying apparently that they wanted to send him out back to Cali to see the doctor, okay? And the doctor's like, well, he don't need to come back out here. He's good. And as we discuss this and we're hearing the varying reports about, all right, when's he coming back again? There's no set date. They feel like he's on his way back. But, Mike, what's the deal here where you want to send him back to the doctor and the doctor's like, I don't need to see him?
Yeah, so where is this going? Because Mark Bowman had this about a day ago and then just walked it back and usually said, yeah, now he doesn't. Late May, according to Bowman, still seems like a realistic target. So what is the holdup? I mean, the Braves, you know you're going to have the obligatory 4 days or how many games for Gwinnett or Rome or wherever they're going to send him. But let's get moving here. I mean, this is why Carl and I were saying this off the air. Let me give the preamble on this one. We're not trying to be negative, Nelly, or glass half empty, but why is it taking so long? We're scuffling around. You're still 6 games out. You're under 500. You think there'd be a sense of urgency to get the man up here, unless they're concerned about, you know, the two injuries and the wear and tear and everything else he's been dealing with. I don't know. I don't know a Braves fan who isn't a little concerned about this. That there's no specific. There's never any specifics.
The only reason you go back or want to send him back is there may be complications you're concerned about. That's it.
That we haven't been told about.
Correct. That's the only reason. And if that is the reason, then there is reason for a little bit of what's the deal? Does this mean he's going to be out longer? But I'd love to tell you guys it's nothing, but I just thought that was, like, interesting. Why would you even want him to go back? Like, was there a miscommunication? Mike, there's rarely a miscommunication when it comes to these things. We know he went out there, he got checked out, he got cleared. Okay, he's been working his way back. Doctor out there is like, I don't need to see him. Okay, great. Let's move.
I mean, so why would you say, again, that's why the confusion, look, unless it was just simply a misunderstanding and something that was, you know, communicated to the media, which I don't know.
Yeah,
these guys are there every day, but they're pretty dialed in. They're asking the same question every day about Ronald. I know, like, we ask Grant every day about Ronald. So, yeah, it's just, and this goes back to what you and I talked about yesterday. Everyone just assumes Strider's going to come back and he's, you know, he's Cy Young material. Acuña comes back and he's MVP material. Yeah, in a perfect world, you hope so, but it just, you know, is it going to be like when? June 1st? June 15th?
Wouldn't surprise me if it's June.
I mean, when's he going
to
be here?
Guys, it's about to be May 15th. It's not going to surprise me if it's June.
Because if you're saying late June, so that means, okay, so he starts a rehab assignment in 2 weeks.
Yeah, correct. And that's the other part about this. He's not jumping into the lineup. All right, man. Mm. More to get to. Mike, what's coming up in Guy Talk?
Hey, man. A couple of things. A little disappointment about our Kentucky Derby winner, by the way, that almost won us some loot. And I know, the Met Gala. I don't understand it, but it's a big thing. And a lot of athletes were there. And Carl, we'll do our Dukes and Bells GQ review,
okay,
if you will.
Okay.
We'll talk about the episode. It's not a visual medium. We're on the radio, but we'll discuss what these guys are rocking coming up next.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through 2 cartons in 1 day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Baseball's all about the games.
And the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
When a player's play, Friday, by the way, hitting the road, Twin Peaks in Buckhead, right? Join us, Dukes and Bell, right there on Piedmont. And Day-Day, come on by, buy him a shot. What? Shaking your head. Is that a negative? Is that a no-go?
No, no. I was just saying, you know, I
like a fireball, something light and easy. You know,
my first outing with the guys, I want to make sure that I am on my utmost behavior.
I agree with you, Day-Day. Yeah. I would suggest that, too.
Yeah, so buy me three shots.
I say like 2 o'clock, 5-ish, 6 o'clock-ish. By the way, real quick, before we get to the stories in Guy Talk today, a lot of guys are just going bananas, and they still can't believe that it's actually Andre 3000's latest project.
It's crazy.
Him banging on a piano, as opposed to the previous work as a flautist.
Grammy nominated.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Just, you know, but everyone agrees with us. I mean, everyone loved, and they just still miss Outback. I mean, again, Outkast, but this just ain't cutting it, and you just want to hear some music you can, I don't know, Carl, sing along to, or tap a toe to. Not really feeling that.
No, look, his artistic freedom is interesting to me because this is where he's at right now. You know, I can tell you, there's always a group or an artist that just goes, they go left when you want them to go right, or you want them to continue on the path in which you fell in love with their stuff.
Yeah, but left for Andre, I think for most Outkast fans, would have been like a rap rock album.
Okay.
Yes.
This is completely, you know what I mean? This is completely off the
rails. This is just, off the grid.
All right.
Yeah. It's like I was telling Day-Day, it's got to be like, I don't know how many years ago, Metallica thought it'd be a great idea to jam with Lou Reed. You know, Lou Reed, Velvet Underground, he's passed now, great musical icon, you know, and then, but like Lou was like talking over like the Metallica. So this, I rank this up there with the Andre 3000.
Okay.
Just tell me, this is not a joke, this is real.
I am a chorus.
Okay, that's terrible.
Of the voices.
That's terrible.
Gather up the magnets.
Yeah. Yeah, that's awful.
I mean, this to me is the worst song that's ever been recorded in rock and roll. And I love Metallica and I love Lou Reed. Two great tastes that don't go well together,
no,
Carl.
No. I mean, like, I'm all for collabs, but that ain't it.
I am a magnet. No, no, you're not. That's not the desired effect. Hey, man, you may have seen over the weekend the Met Gala, and a lot of folks are like, what is this, and why is this getting jammed down my throat on TV? Well, it's a big deal, and they raise money for the Metropolitan Museum of Art's Costume Institute, which basically houses every single piece of clothing, jewelry, accessory that goes back to the Middle Ages that's ever been made. So it's kind of important if you're in the fashion business. So I mean, you could argue that wouldn't it be better to take all the money that goes to this and throw it towards, I don't know, a soup kitchen or something, but hey, celebs want a celeb, and this is the thing. And everybody and their uncle goes to this in the music world, you know, movies, stars, etc., and certainly athletes. So it was kind of cool. And this year, the Met Gala, the theme was basically for about, you know, black culture and black fashion.
Sure.
It's going all the way back. So that's a theme that they're going to have at the Met. So a lot of guys were out there doing their thing. And I'll just start with some of the athletes. Simone Biles. I thought that was sexy as hell. If you didn't see it, Day-Day, see this blue short skirt? Long train with a white collar. Ooh, that's tight.
She looked good.
She looked great.
She did.
She looked good.
And her boy husband, the former football player.
Yeah, whoever he is. She looked good at the Kentucky Derby. Did you guys see her at Kentucky Derby?
Yeah, she did.
Yeah.
It's bigger than the jockeys. Let's see here. Also out there, Serena Williams. That they see that guy as like a down comforter thing that she had going as the train on the back of the
bus. Was that what it was?
That's what it looked like.
Yeah.
I don't know, but it sure looked good. Now, of course, Mr. Unlimited was there. Russell Wilson with Ciara. And a lot of guys were going with walking sticks or canes.
Okay.
As kind of their thing. Russell had a cape on over his jacket.
Oh,
so
imagine that.
A lot of WNBA stars were there. The guy that had everybody laughing out loud when he went and did Paris Fashion Week 3 years ago when he had the backless suit. Remember we were talking about the time? Do you remember that Day-Day? It was like a double-breasted thing, and it was backless. It was Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow going with a little more conservative, double-breasted with sneakers at this year's Met Gala.
Okay, a little more laid back.
Yes. Lewis Hamilton, all white with like a little sash thing and a beret kind of thing going backwards. It's a pretty tight looking outfit. It's Lewis.
Fresh off the race in Miami, right?
That's right. Speaking of guys that were down in Miami doing the double dip, did get to see, this is pretty cool, one of the few times we've ever seen Jalen Hurts smiling. Jalen Hurts, his wife, Bree Burrows, he also rocking a beret.
Okay.
And he's actually got a grin. And in some cases, they actually captured him smiling. The joke is up in Philly, he's all
smile.
Business.
He
never see a smile.
The beret actually looks good on him.
He pulls it off.
Yeah, everybody can't wear that, but like that looks good on him. I'm with you, man.
Saquon Barkley, basically a tuxedo.
Okay.
Just basic
simple. Black and white?
Nothing wacky, just black and white. Yeah. Dwayne Wade, Gabrielle Union. Dwayne Wade had like this studded white vest thing. I know we're on the radio, so I'm doing my best to communicate.
Did he have a shirt on or no shirt?
He had a shirt and a tie on, yes.
Because sometimes he's done that with no shirt on.
No, he actually looked very conservative by Wade's standards, if I'm honest right there. Venus was there as well, and it was kind of neat. Colin Kaepernick shows up wearing a cape, and it got the fro going too. By the way, it was pretty cool.
I haven't seen. Honestly, I say I haven't seen him, but I haven't seen any. He hasn't really been.
He's been off. He's kind of been off the radar.
Off the grid.
Still with the same girl. Justin Jefferson was there. Justin Jefferson, we mentioned, was down. I mentioned yesterday was at the Grand Prix in Miami. He went for a lap with the race winner Piastri, who tried to do the gritty, and he showed him how to do the dance. He couldn't really pay it off. He kind of did basically like two or three steps, and it almost looked like an old video of Al Jolson tap dancing. But it was his attempt, and so they showed him. Justin Jefferson was there at the Met as well. One of the other guys, by the way, who was at the Miami race and was doing all the club scene and the partying down there is Jaden Daniels from the Commanders. Mm. And, you know, it's funny. Remember when Eli Apple came out of the draft and his mom was kind of hanging around, and we learned this last year that Jaden Daniels' mom is like super involved. And basically has the
dating and all that.
The yay and nay on who he sees. Well, she was the third wheel with him and his girl. Then a lot of people are saying that's a bit unusual.
Well, look, at some point, and I'm not saying, you know, that it's going to be a problem.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got to be like, Mom, I'm going to do this by myself.
At some point.
And I don't know at what point that happens for him. But she's been so involved, Mike. It's cool now.
Right.
But we all know, grown folk, that at some point you're going to be like, Mom, I got this. And it's gonna hurt because she wants to do all the things and be there. I don't know. I'm not going to say it's weird because I get it. Her involvement is real and she loves her child. Mm. But at some point, you got to cut
that. Yeah, he's got to cut that umbilical cord?
Yeah, he's definitely got to do that because it's getting to the point now where it's like, I mean, what's the guy going to do when it's time for some action? Mom, I know how to put that on.
Yeah.
Please, leave me alone.
I feel you. I
mean,
no.
It's a bad sitcom is what it turns into. So, I mean, again, you know, it's working out for him. Guy had success, and sometimes you want to have somebody looking out for you as you make the transition from the amateur to pro.
And I get the whole money aspect of it. I understand what she wants to do, but I mean, there's ways to do that. Mm. You know what I'm saying? There's accounts that can be set up that you can make sure only you and Jaden have access to. She's just being a little overbearing at this point. Like, it's too much.
You were asking me yesterday about the new F1 movie that's going to come out that Apple's been producing with Brad Pitt. And the actor who basically plays like sort of a Lewis Hamilton type character is Damson Idris.
Okay.
If you ever watched, and I watched the first couple seasons and I kind of fell out, was a Snowfall on FX.
No, Snowfall was great.
Right, about the start of the crack epidemic and him being like a drug dealer. It becomes this like, you know, rock star, drug dealer in L.A. So he's the dude who's playing the driver. He was also at the MetLife, not the insurance company, but he was at the Met Gala, and it was one of the cool things. He had a driver's suit on because he's basically promoting the movie, which is kind of neat. So the driver's suit, a girl comes out, unzips, and then it turns into like this flash outfit with like a really rock and roll suit underneath. But he's wearing like a driver's suit with a helmet, takes the helmet off, and then voila, I've got like this red flash suit.
Yeah.
Looks pretty tight.
He's got
some high marks for it.
I didn't see it. I think the kid, he's a young dude, but his character's name in Snowfall was Franklin Saint, and he was excellent in Snowfall. If you've not seen it, I tell you to binge it. It's worth it.
Well, it's kind of funny, though. We always joke around. You and I used to joke around about, once again, English actors taking money out of American actors' pockets. But just like Idris Elba, you know, going back to The Wire, right? I mean, just, it's like, remember the first time, like, that guy's British?
True.
Right? Like, what?
You were like, another one?
But this dude looks really, it looks the part for the movie. The movie does look pretty darn cool.
My favorite character in that series, though, was Jerome, his uncle. That Jerome is the best. If you didn't, if you've never seen it,
Stringer Bell,
best.
Jerome. Oh, man, the whole shebang. All right, we talked earlier about Shedeur Sanders.
Yes.
We talked about him. Is he honoring Tom Brady? Or is he just basically reversing his dad's number on the jersey, which some people have pointed out, 21-12.
Okay.
As a QB. Now, the NFL allows quarterbacks to wear double-digit numbers, but obviously, you know, 12 is a classic for quarterbacks. Well, a lot of folks were obviously upset as we know, mostly on the media, mostly on ESPN, and it cost us $350,000, $100,000 to our defensive coordinator and $250,000 to the team. But one guy that was even more upset than the Falcons is an unknown fan known as John Doe in a lawsuit. We know the man is from here in Atlanta or Metro Atlanta. He's in Georgia somewhere. He is suing the National Football League for $100 million over the disappointing fifth-round draft pick, claiming he suffered, quote, emotional distress and trauma as a fan and consumer because the 23-year-old phenom wasn't selected earlier.
Okay.
Now, this will be thrown out in a New York minute.
Yeah.
But I guess this guy's just got some money to burn to hire a lawyer and file the paperwork.
It's fun, but come on. You're not going to get anything out of that. I mean, yeah, we all were stressed. Right. we all were at that point in the draft where we were like, what's going to happen? When is it going to happen?
Yeah, so a guy writes, it was immediate frustration, the fan. Federal lawsuit, by the way.
Wow.
John Doe, the guy was projected to be a guy, come on. Now, this is now we talk about frivolous litigation.
This would be that right there.
Hey, man, I tell you what. I'm going to sue the owner of the horse who ain't going to race in the Kentucky Derby. I mean, I'm sorry, he's going to race in the Preakness. We know that Sovereignty won the race, beat journalism. But, Carl, now we find out from the trainer, he's not going to go in the second leg of the Triple Crown. Bill Mott says Sovereignty is not going to race. Now, for those who don't know, the Kentucky Derby is a mile and a quarter. The Preakness is just slightly smaller, shorter distance, and a mile and 3/16. And sometimes now it's happened like five or six times since 2018. Since 2016, when sometimes the horse that won the Derby doesn't race the Preakness, so we don't get a shot at a Triple Crown winner, which means nobody watches the Belmont Stakes, which is the longest race, which is a mile and a half.
Not interested. I want to see history.
Right.
And that's when you win the Derby, you're chasing history. So, I mean, I get it. Is the horse okay?
No. So some of these guys, again, why is it called the Triple Crown? Why is it so hard to win? Because you do these different distances, and this is more of a sprint. And some trainers won't put their horse out there 2 weeks later, then have to go 2 weeks later for the mile and a half at Belmont. So it sucks. And then, again, I'm sure NBC's like, hey, because they pay big money for this, and now you got no reason to watch it.
Yeah. Guess I'll be watching the movie Secretariat again.
Right.
Huh.
What was the one with Tobey Maguire? Seabiscuit.
Seabiscuit was good, too.
Seabiscuit was anything with the ponies, man.
Yeah.
For those who don't know, yeah, my grandfather thought a great idea for babysitting was to take me to Belmont Racetrack. Hey, man, one last nugget for you. I'll save this for Grant. I got a couple of Braves factoids, but I will save that for Brant, who'll join us in less than an hour to talk about the Braves and a nice win last night for AJ Smith-Shopper.
All right, one other thing I did want to mention, and Mike, you were talking about the Met Gala. I said this to the guys. Rihanna spotted. She's pregnant again.
Baby bump.
Yeah.
Big baby bump.
We're huge Rihanna fans in our household, and my wife literally said to me, I guess we're never getting that album. Because she's been saying that she's coming out with this new album. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, her husband was fighting some legal issues. Uh-huh. They got past it. Day-Day believes this was the coming home event that happened once he got, you know, got free. Either way, she was spotted. She looks great.
So you're saying the baby was born 9 months to the day Big Man got out of the slammer?
Just saying, all of a sudden we see her out in public again, and boom, Rihanna's public. She's pregnant. But no, man, right. She's I hadn't seen her, and then she showed up. She looked terrific at the Met, too.
Yeah, she looked great, and shouts out to her, man. Listen, she's enjoying motherhood, and, you know, I know her music fans, they're desperate for some new music from her. I personally think it's going to happen at some point.
It ain't happening.
But, you know, we'll see.
Rocky ain't letting it happen.
Carl calls her the Dr. Dre.
Dre told us for 20 years he got a new album coming out, and then he teases, here's a new track. And everybody be like, oh, didn't hear it. No album, no nothing. This is Rihanna. That's what's going to happen. All right, man, we got more to get to. Falcon Report's on the way. Mike says he has concerns. Real concerns. We'll tell you about what coming up on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.